And then you start listening to all the gurus, and everybody has their methodology. Everybody's giving you their own framework. And what I learned is, in regards to sales, in regards to everything, really, it doesn't work. Because being an entrepreneur means that we have to really strengthen and empower ourselves with what is unique to us. So if someone, for example, is an introvert, they are able to close being an introvert, right? To bring that out. And I didn't get that. So there was a lot of trial and error on my part. I would say that it was definitely difficult, but trial and error, being persistent, and, you know, being determined to figure it out is what really makes a difference.
Welcome to the Grant Owen Podcast, where we explore the world of entrepreneurship. Join us as we dive into the nitty-gritty of what it takes to start, grow, and scale a successful business. We're on a mission to share our experiences, failures, insights, and advice with others. Whether you're just starting out in your entrepreneurial journey or you're looking to take your business to the next level, tune in and join the conversation about what it takes to succeed in the world of business. We going full throttle. Welcome to the Grant Owen Podcast. I am so excited. I, first off, want to thank you, listener. Thank you for being with me, spending time with me. My hope is that every single time I step on this podcast and record content with another awesome entrepreneur, that it gives you value. Because at the end of the day, if you're not getting value, what's the point? You're giving me your time. And so I so appreciate that. And my hope is that whatever time investment we put in, you benefit from. So, likes, shares, comments, whatever you can do to support this so that we can get more people to hear things that are going to be inspired by, in this case, Hindi's story. I have Hindi here. I'm so excited. We're part of the same mastermind group. And I don't like introing people with that because that makes it sound like we're only connecting through that. When in reality, I think it's cool that we have shared values and systems. And this is our first time interacting. And I will say, like, Hindi is your given name, and then Lisa Oster is that how you pronounce it? Oh my goodness. That'd be really
embarrassing. Yes, you pronounced it correctly. Don't worry.
That's how people can find you on LinkedIn. But I just want to know, so like both of us kind of were introduced to each other through Dan Martell. And probably both of us resonated with his book, and both of us happened to be in his mastermind this year. So, I just want to start there. Like, what was the thing that drove you to engage with that kind of group? What brought you to that community? What have you gotten from that community? Because I love InfoProduct. I'm in the InfoProduct space. So what's been like a benefit to you? I'm not trying to like promote it, but I'm curious to you, like, what value you've gotten out of it.
Right. No, Dan is awesome. The group is incredible. It's just amazing to be around such amazing people. So what drew me to Dan, actually, this goes back many years. All right. I listened to his story. He's on many podcasts. He's very open about his experiences, how he grew up and all that stuff. And it really pulled me in. Dan is authentic. He's created a certain life for himself, and I wanted to be part of that. A lot of what he, you know, said resonated with me, and I said, I have to be a part of this. I apologize if there are sirens, by the way, outside. No problem. I'm in a city, okay?
No problem.
When Dan was advertising like this coaching mastermind, I was certain or like positive that this is like way out of my reach, way out of my caliber, so to speak. So when I reached out to Dan to say, hey, you know, let me be a part of this, I was trying to productize my business because my business is more service oriented, and I was trying to see how we could scale it more easily. That's what drew me in, and that's how I got in.
Awesome. And in my opinion, so like your background is in the ops side of things. You position yourself at least as like a fractional COO, which... I'm curious, like, that's kind of like in the agency space, right? Do you position yourself as an agency? Do you position yourself as just like an individual kind of like expert consultant?
Expert consultant is more accurate in this case.
What got you into that field? Like, tell me a little bit about your background in the sense of like, what were you always in the ops side of things? What made you go, you know, you weren't? Tell me about it.
Right. So, you know, our stories are never really linear, right? like, oh, I went to school for this and I got this. It's the complete opposite. I started out by mistake in finance.
Okay.
Yes, finance out of all things. Yep. And to be honest, I was like the worst, like math was my worst subject, which also taught me a lot because even if it was my worst subject, I happened to be really good in the finance, you know, business finance, I would say, right?
Yeah.
Just a profit and loss, understanding what goes on, like the story behind everything and related to this field. So that's what I did for many, many years. And I really burnt out. Like, I think back in 2016, I was like, I can't do this anymore. I think, you know, just being immersed only in the numbers when you're actively seeing that the people that are involved are the ones that make the company tick.
Yeah.
And the processes that are broken are what correlates to the numbers either being, you know, good or bad, if you will.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's what really made me want to do something more meaningful, I guess.
Yeah.
Because I love people and I wanted to empower people. So I said, you know what? I'm going to start doing more of that. And the moment I did that, I realized that I love it and I never look back. So to give you more context, I had a business partner for 15 years. We were doing the finance together. And he is really good at the, like, with the numbers. You know, give him any like financial report, he will take it apart, audit it, all of that. Mm-hmm. So he stayed in that on that side, and I took over the operational side and people side. Okay. So we really work well together. When we went to a client, we were able to like target all of these categories.
Okay. So with that, and when you were saying like, okay, you took that as like that partnership and then were able to say almost like it's like white labeled, but like dual service because you guys worked so well together on that. Like what was, did it feel like you were venturing out by yourself? Did you feel like you were venturing out away from, you know, like, did you feel like a risk at all leaving essentially what you had done for so long and trying something new that really was like you owning it?
Yes. And you're, that's a great question because people know you for what you do, right? Mm-hmm. You start doing something, people are happy with your service or your product, and that's what they know you for.
Yeah.
So to start venturing out in a completely different area, you have to sort of build yourself up from, it feels like the ground up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's always tough.
Yeah. What was like, describe that first year to me. Talk to me about that first year, getting your first clients, positioning yourself, like making it, so, like, were you able, was it, did that come naturally? Was that easy for you? Was that something that like, you felt like, I got it, I'm in this?
No, Grant, no. Sales, so here's another thing that I didn't mention. My partner at the time also handled all sales, right? He was the closer. Yeah. I was just really good at the operations, the back end, and all of that. So I never exercised that muscle.
Yeah.
So imagine my surprise when I had to start doing it on my own. And I was like, how does this work? Right? Yeah. I have no idea, right? And then you start listening to all the gurus and everybody has their methodology. Everybody's giving you their own framework. Mm-hmm. And what I learned is in regards to sales, in regards to everything really, mm-hmm. it doesn't work because being an entrepreneur means that we have to really strengthen and empower ourselves with what is unique to us. So if someone, for example, is an introvert, they are able to close being an introvert.
Yeah.
Right? To bring that out. And I didn't get that. So there was a lot of trial and error on my part. And we're still always working on it, right? It's like an evolution. It never stops. Yeah, I would say that it was definitely difficult, but trial and error, being persistent and, you know, being determined to figure it out is what really makes a difference.
Yeah. On that too, like, cause I think like that's not really unique to any, like that, it might feel like it's unique in a specific sense to any entrepreneur. But to be honest, I think that's just normal for anybody in a job transition as well. I'm actually really curious. So like, honing in on the operation side of stuff, there's, at least in terms of all the operations agencies and consultants that I've interacted with, I feel like there's different tiers of operational help that you need at different business sizes and different business levels. There's usually like anybody that's doing essentially zero to like 50K, maybe zero to 40K in monthly revenue, right? Usually you can kind of do that mostly by yourself. Like you can get to 20K a month, you can get to 30K a month, you can probably even get to 40K a month by yourself without much like infrastructure, really systems being done. That's just kind of like hustle it and make it happen. Some people can say do more, but that's kind of my opinion. From what I've heard, it's like going from 40K to 100K is mostly just systems. It's people and systems. And then beyond that, it's just hiring. It's just like agency hiring. It's just making sure that you're adding the right pieces and scaling the right way. What do you find is the biggest, like which level of that is the biggest pain? Is it the scaling from 40K to 100K? Like which problem is the hardest to solve from an operational perspective?
Whoa, that's a loaded question, Grant. Because I feel, and maybe this sounds cliche, but it's real from my experience. I feel like at every level, you're gonna be met with different challenges. It's like you're playing a DS or a Game Boy in my days, right? Yeah. You finished a level, you had challenges, you once, you know, had some wins, losses, and then you're on to the next level. And now you have a whole new set of challenges. So like, who's to say what's harder, really, right? It's just going to be different. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what I think. I think it's just different, more so than harder. But to answer your last question, what's the most difficult piece, I guess, in operations is really the people.
Have you found that there's that a lot of people you've worked with is like have they made bad hires or they just put the wrong people in the wrong positions?
Big time. Yeah. That's a huge thing. And when it comes to like defining roles and responsibilities for each person and playing on each person's strength, mm-hmm. that's huge because you want to align your team with your vision. You have to make sure that, you know, everybody is playing to their strengths and that every function in your org chart is accounted for.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of, I think clarity is really missing for a lot of businesses when it comes to this. Because as you said, when you start out, you're hustling, you're doing everything on your own. And when it's like pouring rain, right, and you're just trying to keep dry or whatever it is, you start hiring, you start getting help, and then it gets really overwhelming because who has time to zoom out and see if the whole puzzle piece, if all the puzzle pieces are in the right place and if the picture makes sense?
Yeah.
Not many, business owners have that capacity.
Yeah. Yeah, so in that, like, the fractional CMO model is different because in my experience, and like I call myself, depending on who I'm working with, I call myself fractional CMO. A lot of times it's just like creative director. Like we're an outsourced content team. That's what a content agency is, right? It's like you don't have this capacity to build it in-house. You're probably at that position where you could probably hire a social media manager. But really, you need a whole team because you need to do a lot more when it comes to making social media content a lead generation funnel, right? Or at least a brand building thing. You just need a lot more resources. I'm curious if ops is a similar thing. I think ops is obviously more crucial because it's different. Like lead generation is really important to increase MRR. And then I feel like ops is super important to stabilize MRR. So in your experience, like I feel like both of them kind of go hand in hand, and the fractional model is something that I think has expanded a lot in the last couple of years and will continue to expand just because people don't want to give up equity, right? Small business owners don't want to give up equity, and they want the systems in a done-for-you format or a done-with-you format. I think a lot of people are like kind of tired of this like DIY course model. And a lot of times they take one or two of them and they just kind of say, okay, we got to figure this out when really the done with you is great and the done for you is even better. So as you position yourself, what do you find yourself doing a lot for companies? Are you the person that's doing the work? Are you the person that's building the systems? Are you the person that's kind of doing the audit? Or is it more so that you just have the knowledge and you say, hey, these are the things that have worked for people in similar industries. You probably should do the same thing.
You're touching on a hot topic.
Okay.
Because consultants, as we know, right? If you think of the big consultants out there, McKinsey or whatnot, mm-hmm. they're more research based. Like, we're going to do the research for you. We're going to give you a strategy. And then they leave. They charge a lot and they leave. And if you implemented it, great. If not, too bad, right? We are different in that sense that we come in as experts. However, we implement, we collaborate with you. We do a lot of the work depending what it is. Mm-hmm. But we also want to help, you know, set them up for success. So if we do everything, we're going to be very, very particular in what we're willing to do fully. For example, right? If we speak of about documentation packages, right? SOPs, job descriptions, flow charts, organizational chart, we're going to do all of that because we're coming in as experts. We have the experts on our team. We know how to format it. We know how, like, we know what to look for, right? And yeah. we have to improve the processes. So we have to do it on our own. However, when it comes to, we also do leadership training, for example, or when it comes to, it really depends. I'm trying to say, yeah, when it comes to creating SOPs, we're going to have them do it and we're just going to fix it up. But it really depends on the situation. So we're collaborators, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And when you're collaborating, it's like, I know that that's, I'm curious about that inflection point though, when you need the collaborator and you need the technician, because there's the, hey, help me build the system. And it sounds like when it comes to a consultant building the system, it's the biggest part. You want the expert to do it. You don't want to hire some person that's inexperienced and saying, hey, you have no real expertise in this. You're probably project manager based. Please come in and build my company for me. I understand you probably don't want that. You probably don't want that as a part. But what's the inflection point when you need the iterator to take whatever is established and then continually iterate on it? Because that's what a COO effectively does. It's like, there's an established system. Okay, sweet. We've got it done. We've built it. And now the rest of the job is completely just iterating, which in my mind, you can just iterate until the cows come home. It's like, it's done. You can just, like, you can always tinker with and always fix stuff. So like, where do you find is that part where you really do need that person that comes in house?
Right. Another great question. Because again, we deal with this all day, every day. And I think when it comes, first of all, when it comes to establishing what the client needs, right? That's when you decide, like, what is the deliverable? Like, when are we done? When can we fire ourselves, essentially, right? So let's say
But let's be real. Like, do you really want to fire yourself? Like, that's the part where I'm always confused when it comes to this business consulting part, where it's like, you want to do the job right. And in a perfect world, we are going to fire ourselves, right? That's what we're trying to do. But at the same time, we don't want to lose the client or lose the MR. We want to be the person that's also solving the problem.
Yes. Yes. I feel you on that. But I think our motto has been that we're not trying to get rich off of one client. Right. So we'd rather build our reputation, do a great job, and for them to send their friends, their partners in different businesses.
Yeah.
And you know what? When they know that we're ready to fire ourselves, they usually don't want to let go.
What does that conversation look like?
We kind of have this check-in, like, let's say every 3 months, like a real sit down to say, all right, you called us in for this. This is what we've, you know, been doing. And we always send them updates, weekly updates anyways. But what happens with consulting, as you probably know, people bring you in for one thing and then it just unravels from there. There are so many different things that need to be taken care of. And when you're trying to go the extra mile and make sure that you're really serving your clients, you know, we tend to take on more than we agreed upon. Yeah. So we have this sit down every 3 months and we say, all right, is it time for us to fire ourselves? How did we do? And it's difficult to do. In the beginning, it was really difficult, but we got into the habit of doing it. And I find that clients really appreciate it.
Do you think, in that, I'm very curious at what's like the biggest pain point you found with having probably a CEO or a leader that is not at all operationally focused, that's super sales focused and super sales minded. Do you find yourself having a lot of friction with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. this is the weird thing when it comes to people hiring consultants. They don't want you there. They hate that they need you in a way. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's like, we need the help, but I don't exactly understand what you're doing.
Yeah.
Right? And I also think that sales is the most important thing. And I will agree to that, because without sales, you don't really have a business.
Yeah.
But you also can't scale and grow and expand without the proper infrastructure. So you need it, right? So we have conversations. It's really all about communication. But I'll be honest with you, I have fired clients before. It's happened.
Yeah. What goes into that? Because I think, I've done that too. And here, part of the problem with me when I think of that is usually I fire clients because it's an operational headache. Where I'm saying, okay, time to fulfill doesn't match the costs, and so I'd rather just like move. I think they'd be better fit by this other type of system, this other type of arrangement. I think this is what would serve them, and I don't want to be the person to provide that. But at the same time, I'm like, as a business owner myself, I'm like, you know what, Grant? Like, frankly, if you're supposed to solve problems, you should be making a solution for that problem that you have, instead of being like, I don't like that I have to deal with this. I don't like that I have to provide this service. I don't like that I have to deal with this. Like half the people, I realized a couple months after, like I fired some clients, I was like, Grant, you probably should have just like hired a customer success manager, because that person could have just been like, just been the individual point of like, could have handled all those headaches that you had, that you were like, no, I don't really want to deal with that. Has that gone through your mind at all? Because I've experienced that, and I'm like, I regret, because I know I could have still solved the problem and still gotten the solution done. I just needed to remove myself from it.
I totally hear your experience, and it makes sense, right? Because it really depends what the problem was.
Yeah.
Right? In the case where we fired somebody, it was more so because the CEO wasn't open to anything. They felt good having consultants on their team as a cop out, or so. I don't know why, but like it felt nice for some reason for them to be able to say, oh yeah, we have them, you know, running ops and they're doing their thing. But then they went and, you know, behind the scenes, not only didn't listen, but also sabotaged a lot of what we were trying to do. Mm-hmm. Not out of any malicious intent, I don't think, but more so because habits are very difficult to break.
Yeah.
So in that regard, I don't know if a customer success person could have fixed the issue.
Sure, sure. That makes sense. I think, there's alignment that's probably required in that kind of situation. But like, I guess then, what does, like, I'm thinking like you, like we've been talking to ops, but like for you and your business, what does growth look like? Because it sounds like so much of it is dictated on your time and your energy. What is growth for your business as a fractional COO business consultant? Because I find that those types of businesses are insanely hard to scale. Like you can probably get to a certain yearly revenue point, but they're very hard to scale to a 7-figure business unless you do super high ticket or unless you absolutely scale out your team.
Right. So that's a great question. So going back to, let's say, the business that I had a partner, right?
Yeah.
We did scale past 7 figures. It was a lot of work. And in that regard, it was more so hiring specialists, bringing on specialists onto the team. For example, software, right?
Yeah.
We had like a financial department, software related, no code, low code, or even, you know, code.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So it was a full agency. Right. That's a full agency model. It's like full outsourced agency, kind of like, we're going to be your bookkeepers. We're going to be your finance team. We're going to be your like support team almost.
Right. But almost like half, yes. But I can't say 100%.
Yeah.
But we did choose certain categories and we said, we're just going to build on that. Right. Yeah. But right now, as I'm building this myself, the only way to scale really is to productize something. For example, take documentation packages.
Yeah.
I don't have to be involved as much. It might require an hour or two of my time, but then we have a team of specialists that they are technical writers. They are actually certified in a bunch of different things, and they do this.
Yeah.
So that's the way to scale. Otherwise, it's very difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. I see that. I think, do you have vision to scale it into an agency model where you bring on specialists or you bring on additional operators or additional consultants to kind of delegate to? Or do you kind of feel content to be like, I kind of just want to have my clients do my thing, have my relationships, and just enjoy what I'm building by myself?
So for now, it's the latter. I'm being honest with you. It is the latter, because we have tried in the past to like hire more consultants and it didn't pan out very well.
The ops person didn't like operationally building out the business. What is this? You didn't like the people operation side? What is happening?
Because
how is that not hypocritical? That's crazy. Come on.
Totally is. Because look, when clients reach out, they either expected my partner or myself, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And the moment you give it over to someone else, and again, yeah, speaking as a COO, and we have the SOPs and we have everything, there were certain things that were very high touch.
Yeah.
That even if everything was documented, it just wouldn't work. And you know what? I tell this to my clients as well. Not every single thing. Like, we have to look at your business more holistically to see if we need to systematize or automate. You know, people are busy like, let's automate it, right? Maybe there's one specific thing that is extremely high touch that your customers appreciate that we cannot automate.
Yeah.
We have to really look at what your business is like, the industry, and see if it makes sense. Instead of just putting like a blank, you know, framework on everything.
Yeah. I will say, like, I think to your point, like, I think there's a, cause there's so many paths and it's one of those things where it really is a necessity. And maybe this, we're too in the weeds because people that aren't an ops and aren't this thing. I want to kind of give, and I have an idea of something that some people could do that might be listening to this, that maybe still have a 9-to-5. I went through this process at the beginning of the year where I was like, man, I feel like I'm too connected to my business. I feel like I'm too involved with my clients. I feel like I'm too directly tied to the fulfillment, which is the biggest part. And so I was realizing, okay, ops is a necessary part, whether it's tech, whether it's something else, there has to be, whether it's people, there has to be other involvement so that I can put myself to these other things that are going to scale rather than put myself to this place that's going to fulfill. That's exactly when you need ops. And so that's where I was. I felt like a freelancer, I felt like a consultant, and I wanted to feel like a business owner. I didn't feel like one. So I went through a few different phases where I went to a conference, listened to some stuff, learned some stuff. It was awesome, really helpful for perspective. And then I started hiring pieces, and I was in this like who not how mode. And I actually met with operations agencies, and I met with people that were saying like, hey, a lot of this can be done by systems. Pay me, you know, $7,000 and it'll help. I'll initially identify which package format you need to be built. And then I'll help you build that package. That's what I initially thought I wanted. And then what I realized at the end of the day is actually what I really needed was someone just to kind of get their hands dirty and just kind of dive into it. And I did hire kind of like, I would classify him as a fractional COO except for the fact that it's just not his full-time position. But
that's really cool.
He's like, he came from a project management background. He had a lot. I identified quickly. It was like, I need a who, not how, because I need a skill set to identify what I don't know, because I'm bringing in all these things of like, yes, I was a project manager in a former, you know, in a former life, right? Like but that's still just not my skill set. It's not the thing I enjoy the most. It's not where I people say zone of genius. Like, that's just not my thing. I did it because I had to. I've benefited a lot from having someone just look at it and then have the ideation of being like, hey, I think we can try to build this and it'd be really beneficial. And I think, hey, this documentation would be really important. This is what's most crucial. It wasn't like a cut and paste, because I found one, you know, one growth partner agency that was saying, hey, you know, 25K, we'll partner with you to do this. We'll give you everything you need. I found another one that said, okay, hey, 12K, we'll do this. 7K, we'll do this. 3K. There's all these different price ranges. And what I really needed was not something that was just systems. I needed a touch point. I needed something that was like, just because it worked for that team, I don't want to be that company. I don't want to be that, like, I don't want to, we're solving a different problem. We're looking a little bit different, and I want to use different systems. And so what's been your experience with that? Because there is, like, yes, you can productize some things, but there are things that really need to be unique to whatever company you're working with.
I believe I actually wrote something about it today.
Okay.
Because you're touching on a really, really solid point. We can't, you can't just cut and paste, right? Just because something worked in one business, it might not work for the next. You really have to evaluate and do really proper assessments in order to bring a custom solution. So we're a lot more custom than just copy paste. Yeah, in certain aspects, we know every business needs a documentation package, whatever that entails. So we're going to do that. But when it comes to like improving the process, there's a lot of assessment and evaluation going on to say, like, here's where the gap is. Here's where things are falling through the cracks. Here's where we're going to tighten it. This is the type of software that you need that's going to make your life easier. It's extremely custom. Mm-hmm.
I actually think when it comes to that, I would encourage, I think there's a lot of people that probably are in like an analyst position, project management position, ops position, corporate world. They're in these jobs in the corporate world. And they don't realize that their corporate environment and expertise directly benefits small business owners and directly benefits like that type of person. And I definitely think that I would be interested in seeing that becoming kind of like more of like a part-time solution of saying, hey, yeah, I do this full-time, but like, you, small business owners need this. And if anyone's looking for like a side hustle, I think that at a appropriate cost point where it's like you want to provide that service, there's probably people that are doing 10K a month that would like really appreciate it. There's probably people that are doing 20K a month that would really appreciate it that can't quite afford these agencies that are probably what they really need, but they need that stepping stone to just be like, hey, I need an integrator. I need someone that can kind of be a technician, and let's put my business under the hood really quick. Let's check what's happening. Let's see. There's probably some quick wins that the visionary entrepreneurial serial entrepreneur, whatever that is, won't be able to identify because they're so lead generation sales focused. And then to scale at the 7-figure mark, I've also noticed that like there's a fractional CMO for some of those businesses. I was just interacting last week with a fractional CMO of a multi 7-figure business, like approaching 8-figure business. And
of course,
and it's like my perspective of if I'm doing that number, of course I'm going to have somebody in your house, but it's like, nope, sometimes that's not the solution. And I think more people should realize that like, maybe you don't need a permanent W-2 employee to solve that problem when you can pay someone and it's worth their time and they're motivated by getting the job done. They're motivated by getting the result rather than getting the 9-to-5, because not everybody wants the 9-to-5.
I 100% agree with you. To your point, most of our clients, a lot of them make upwards to $250 million and they hired us. And they have VP of operations, they have a COO, they have a CFO, they have all of it, right? Yeah. But they don't always have time. They get a W-2 gets sucked into the day-to-day.
Yeah.
They get lost in the shuffle, and it's really hard for them to step back and create the systems that an expert can create.
Yeah,
we'll say, to your first point, yeah.
Go for it. Sorry.
No, I'm just saying, to your first point, I love what you said, right? Someone who comes from a corporate environment that went to school and has all the degrees, they come with a certain organizational skill that a lot of entrepreneurs are missing. But you want to hear a joke? I have a cool story about this. I was at one of my clients. They make at least 250 mil. We urged them to hire an in-house COO because a lot of time, again, we work hand in hand with them and we want to train them into doing the right thing. So this person comes on. He's a young guy, very driven and very educated, okay? He has all the right degrees and he learned how to do, you know, all the charts and all the things that a lot of entrepreneurs don't. As we were having conversations in his third week of his employment, I checked in with him and I said, like, hey, how's it going? And he says, it's going great. I said, you know, we really need your skill set here because you're bringing, even though they're at 250, they built this through sweat, hustle, tears. I don't even know how. It's more like a family type of business and they just managed to build it up. Without, obviously they had systems, but very faulty ones. So I said, we really need your skill set. And what he told me was, interestingly enough, none of what they taught me at school, none of my formal education fits into any model that these business owners used. Yeah. So how did they get here without that structure?
Yeah, don't get me started on college. Don't get me started on it.
Right, there you go.
I'll go off on it.
So it's not, yes, it's important because, you know, he felt intimidated. He said, look what they managed to do, and I have no idea how. There's no structure to it.
Yeah.
And it said, great, but we still need you. But it's just, it was interesting to learn that.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I mean, in my mind, I think that's a natural piece where I'm going to relate it to my industry. I think the upside of having I think there's a marketing director for larger companies or even like mid-sized companies. There's social media manager. Sometimes you have that. That's usually someone that's making 40, 50, 60K, right? And maybe their job is to do a lot, but like that's kind of like one of those throwaway roles where every company has one, but like no one really cares. And it usually is just like a support role. The thing that those people tend to lack when they're in those jobs, even the marketing directors, the thing they tend to lack is perspective of what's happening in the industry because all they're doing is looking at their role, their daily task, what they're doing, and then what direct competitors are doing. But they lack the perspective of where the industry is going. And usually what I find is that they're 3 to 6 months late on whatever is happening and whatever is relevant. And by the time it gets through all the channels, all the funnels, all this other stuff, it's too late and they missed the window of what they should have done in the first place. And I think a consultant's or fractional role in any sense, there's a value of it if purely only just to say like, hey, I've interacted with a ton of people in similar spaces. It may not be similar industries, but similar sizes, similar demographics, similar goals. This is where everyone else is going. Right, half the asset that I am to some people is purely the fact that I'm in communication with most relevant agency owners. I know most of the number ones and twos on the content teams for most of the big brands, right? Of most of the big like people that are running these content agencies where everyone's trying to chase whatever they're doing. We talk, right? So like we're in communication. And when you're a social media manager and you're coming fresh out of college, you're a marketing person, you're coming fresh out of college, you're like, sweet, now I'm going to learn, you know, paid ads. It's like, well, you don't know what the agencies are doing that are running paid ads because you got taught something and now you're trying to apply it for somebody and you might know technically, but like, this is what the agency that's actually cutting edge is trying. And so I think there's a benefit to, you need the person to execute. You need someone there that's going to be like, yep, I'm going to give 100% of my time and energy towards growing this. But there's still a benefit to being like, hey, you need the outside perspective to say, this is what's relevant. You guys are outdated here and you don't recognize that. And you won't recognize that without my input. You guys are missing the mark and these things are slipping through the gaps because these SOPs are 5 years old and they haven't been followed for 4 years, right? So it's like you need these new kind of systems and processes, and there's perspective that's just required. And that's the main benefit of why I think someone like you in your role is probably super beneficial, is even if you have that COO where that's their job. It's like, hey, it's worth that fee. It's worth that fee for that perspective, because if that can save you time, save you money, or grow, help you invest so that you can grow your revenue, there's a direct dollar to revenue growth aspect, and you're benefiting from the wealth of knowledge, because fundamentally all that you do is learn. Like, that's what you're doing. Every day, every business you're interacting with, every business owner you're interacting with, you're like, I am taking this into account, I'm learning, and now I'm able to go to anybody else with that learning, and no one's going to be like, just all the clients can just benefit from the learning.
Right. Like Grant, like you said before, people are tired of the DIY, right? They don't want to hire someone to learn on their account because then they're late. They're late to the game.
Yeah.
So when you have someone like yourself that is immersed in this one area and you have experience and you meet so many people and you do work for so many people, you have a leg up. You have an advantage that you're bringing to the table.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Okay. So how can people, I want to close this out, but like, how can people connect with you? Because probably people are resonating. I'm guessing there's a business owner that's resonating with kind of the way that you're communicating, the cadence that you have, and trusts that you might be the solution, because I guarantee you, what you do is essential. So every company needs a you. How can people connect with you? How can people, like, what's the ideal client type that you're working with? What's the ideal, like, you know, who should be interacting with Hindi and saying, solve all my problems?
So I would say businesses starting at around, like, if we're looking at revenue, I work with clients ranging from 3 million upwards to 250 million. It's all different and it's all the same at the same time.
Yeah.
And if they're looking to not just systematize things, but to really get a solid assessment on what is going on, what is working, what is not working, then, you know, we are probably the people to help them, and as well as the people, training, management. Mm-hmm. Managers nowadays, what I find, they're not necessarily familiar with what management looks like. We have to track data, KPIs, like, what does it look like, right? It's the leadership part, but it's also the technical aspect of it, of understanding, like, you know, reports. Are we growing? What are the trends from week to week? What do we need to look at in order to grow successfully?
Yeah. Yeah. Love it. Love it. Okay. So where can people connect? You're on LinkedIn. And where are you on Instagram? Give me, give me the spiel.
Instagram. Okay. So Instagram, to be fair, I don't talk about the I'm sorry. Grant, I do coaching as well. And I think one of my Instagrams is really more coaching focused.
Yeah.
And the other one is the consulting. So for the coaching, they could find me at The Hindi Ost on Instagram.
Cool.
And the consulting is going to be Noble Choice Consulting on Instagram or on LinkedIn.
Awesome. And there will be that in the show notes. So definitely please connect. Thank you for your energy. Thank you for your time. I appreciate you. My hope is that people got value and people, like, it's the, like, ops is not the sexy topic. It's not, right? Like, sales is sexy. Marketing's kind of sexy, right? It's like, these are the ones where it's like, how can we be nice and flashy? Ops is like the most important. Ops is like the crucial one that, like, without infrastructure and without systems, nothing is going to happen. And you might claim that, like, 250 million, they got there without all this stuff. I guarantee you that, yes, there was a lot of hustle and grit, but it was probably also like a ton of ops help that got them to that point. Even if it was on duct tape and band-aids, right? It's like, it still was there. That was like such a crucial part of the scaling model. But everything you do is so, so relevant and not talked about at all, because frankly, it's just not a sexy, like, back end stuff. not a sexy thing. So in my mind, like I want to give you more visibility, and I hope that people can resonate with like what you do is essential. What you do is super crucial.
And thank you, Grant.
Every business owner in some capacity, even if you're small, you need somebody to help, integrated help. If you're large, you need input. You need that to help.
Right. And our mission is really just to help align the visionary and entrepreneurs' dreams, yeah. right? And just help them execute and bring it into reality. So we're really just behind the scenes, backbone, if you will.
Love it. Love it. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being with me. Thanks for giving me your time. And I hope the people listening benefited from this. Please connect with Hindi. Please connect with me. I would love to hear from you. Let me know if you got any good feedback from this. Until next time, see you guys. Can't slow us down.